Right now, it's time for another edition of The Political Junkie.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
But I'm the decider.
This is one of those weeks that just begs for The Political Junkie. Senator Craig decides he may not resign after all and leaves that message on the wrong answering machine. Of course, the tape went public. Fred Thompson makes up his mind to run and to make that announcement on late night television. Another member of Congress gets caught up in the Jack Abramoff investigation, and the White House fires up its PR campaign for next week's progress report on Iraq. We'll get to all of that and more. If you have questions about the political news this week, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Ken Rudin, he's here. He's NPR's political editor and our political junkie. You can check out his latest column online at npr.org. Hey, Ken, nice of everybody to cooperate with us and make all these announcements on Wednesdays.
I think they're doing it for us.
I think they are. They're listening.
As they should.
So Senator Larry Craig, on the weekend, he announces he's going to resign on September 30th after his arrest in a public bathroom became public. Now it turns out he is not so sure. He laid out a new strategy in a phone call on Saturday. Presumably, he was trying to reach his lawyer, Billy Martin, but he left his message on the voicemail of somebody who turned around and eventually provided it to the media.
Yes, Billy, this is Larry Craig calling. You can reach me on my cell. Arlen Specter is now willing to come out in my defense, arguing that it appears by all that he knows I've been railroaded and all of that. Having all of that, we've reshaped my statement a little bit to say it is my intent to resign on September 30. I think it is very important for you to make as bold a statement as you are comfortable with this afternoon, and I would hope you could make it in front of the cameras. I think it would help drive the story that I'm willing to fight, that I've got quality people out there fighting in my defense, and that this thing could take a new turn or a new shape, has that potential.
And so he pleaded guilty when he didn't mean to plead guilty, or I guess see, 3 weeks later he didn't mean to plead guilty, and now he decides not to resign and dials the wrong number.
Well, actually, this tape, ostensibly to his lawyer, Billy Martin, although it went to somebody else's phone message, this conversation, this phone message was left before his press conference on Saturday, where he announced he would resign September 30th, although he did change the wording in the press conference to say it's
to
my
intent to resign. And now some of his staff members are telling the Senate Ethics Committee, look, you don't have jurisdiction over this matter, and we're hoping to keep this alive. Maybe he can get that guilty plea annulled.
Well, Stanley Brand, who's is going to be one of the attorneys for Larry Craig, he's long represented members of Congress. He said, in the history of the Senate Ethics Committee, nobody's ever been brought before charges. The Ethics Committee has never looked into personal behavior such as what Larry Craig has been accused of or pled guilty to. So Craig may have a case in the fact that perhaps there's a possibility of him overturning his guilty plea. Politically, though, that's really another story completely. Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, says, as far as I'm concerned, it's over. He's gone. We're going to have a new senator from Idaho, and he's gone by September 30th.
But Senator Craig has yet to confirm that, though. And a lot of big-name Republicans, you mentioned McConnell, John McCain, among others, called on him to step down.
Right, and that has not changed. Again, we talked about this last week. The last thing the Republican leadership, the Republican Party, wanted to talk about as Congress comes back after its August break was Larry Craig. And again, we're talking about it now, as is the media. And so the Republicans are very upset about this.
All right. If he refuses, could he be removed?
Well, he could be, although I think the last senator who was about to be removed was Harrison Williams during Abscam in 1982, and as it turned out, he resigned before the Senate could vote to expel him. But, I mean, I don't know why anybody would expel Larry Craig, given we're talking about a misdemeanor charge here with no jail time and a $500 fine.
Let's see if we can get a caller on the line, and by the way, if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. This is Darren with us from American Falls in Idaho.
Yes, I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
As I mentioned last week, I think Larry Craig will put up a fight for this. He feels he has the political will in Idaho among the party to do it, and the real pressure for his resignation, which will come will be from Washington, D.C. and the Republican Party.
You think that's right, Ken?
I think I'm nodding my head yes as Darren is talking, because I think that's true. You saw that at Larry Craig's press conference last Saturday. Governor Butch Otter, a fellow Republican, was right behind him. There is support. He's been in Congress, the House and Senate for 27 years representing Idaho. The pressure to resign has been from the beginning from Washington. The fact is they just don't want to be to have another distraction like they had with Mark Foley in 2006.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's such a tight political control in Idaho of the Republicans with people that obviously would take Senator Craig's seat. But the fight that he has isn't in Idaho. His fight is definitely from the leadership in Washington.
Well, it also puts the governor in an awkward spot. He was prepared to name a successor, to appoint Larry Craig's successor. Awkward to do that if Larry Craig's still fighting for the seat.
Right, that's absolutely true, and actually, the word out of Idaho is that that Governor Otter will make a decision within the next 2 weeks. Presumably, the whole Larry Craig matter will sort itself out by then.
All right, Darren, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
This is also a busy day for Republican presidential hopefuls. They debate tonight in New Hampshire. That event is being overshadowed a bit by a candidate who has yet to announce, Fred Thompson.
Well, Fred Thompson, his timing is always impeccable. You know, he's having a lot of fun with his testing the waters candidacy. He will not be in part of the New Hampshire debate, which is aired on Fox TV tonight from 9 to 10:30. As a matter of fact, a lot of people are in New Hampshire are not happy about that. There's a front page editorial in the Manchester Union Leader saying, why are you dissing our state by avoiding the debate?
The debate, yep.
But at the same time, he's going to be on Jay Leno. Fred Thompson will be on Jay Leno tonight. I assume he'll get more ratings, bigger ratings on Jay Leno than he will again on the Fox debate. And at midnight tonight, Fred Thompson's website will have a 15-minute video basically announcing his presidential candidacy.
Let's get another caller in, and this is Steve. Steve with us from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Yes, I wanted to ask about Fred Thompson. I'm wondering what your political junkie sees as his basis of support. Is it going to come from the existing candidates like McCain and Romney? He's seen as kind of the true conservative versus Giuliani. I see this race winnowing down to Giuliani and one other conservative that has that hardcore support of the activists. I'm just wondering, where is he going to get outside support? People see him on Law and Order, and what kind of candidate is Fred Thompson anyway?
That's a good question.
It's a great question, because having watched several of his speeches so far, I don't get a sense of exactly what he stands for, although he is talking about being a common-sense conservative, and that's what he's going to talk about in his video tonight. But having said that, remember, he has not spent much money at all in this Testing the Waters campaign. He has not appeared in any debate, and yet if you look at national polls, you know how I feel about national polls, but if you look at them right now, he is among the leaders. I think a lot of it is because there is a sizable dissatisfaction among the Republican field, with the Republican field that already exists. Rudy Giuliani over his social issues, John McCain, you know, he's because of immigration, and, you know, the war is not helping him as well. Mitt Romney has had multiple positions on abortion and stem cell research over the years. And so because of this, perhaps a dissatisfaction with the Republican front runners, it gives Fred Thompson ostensibly an opening.
Mm. Steve, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Speaking of John McCain, he got some flack this week for a comment he made during a campaign event in New Hampshire. A student there asked him about his age, if he'd be worried about dying in office or getting Alzheimer's disease. McCain answered that question, joked at one point about his children accusing him of being able now to hide his own Easter eggs. And then,
every campaign I've ever been in my life, I've out-campaigned all of my opponents, and I'm confident that I will. Thanks for the question, you little jerk.
And some questions being raised about the propriety of calling. I'm saying others raised them, not you.
But no, but it was done with a smile, and it was, you know, I mean, John McCain has this sense of humor that you either like or don't like. Of course, remember when he sung the Barbara Ann to Bomb, Bomb, Bomb Iran? A lot of people took offense to that, but that was John McCain being John McCain.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much. Here's an email question. Which Republicans, have any, have jumped into the primary race to fill Warner's, and this is John Warner of Virginia, Senate seat? Also on the other side, who are the likely Democrats to run now that they might have a chance? A follow-up, if the two current front runners from each party run against each, which party would Ken put his political cash on to win the election? Come on, Ken, he says. I dare you.
Oh, great question. Well, Congressman Tom Davis, a moderate Republican from the Northern Virginia suburbs outside of Washington, D.C., has long said, if John Warner does not seek a sixth term, I will run. On the day that John Warner said he would not seek a sixth term, Davis released a statement, look, this is John Warner's day, but I am intending to run. There's no question that Tom Davis is in the race. But a lot of conservatives...
He's not the only one, yeah.
Right, exactly. A lot of conservatives don't like Tom Davis, just like they don't like John Warner. Remember, John Warner voted against the Bork nomination. He didn't support Oliver North when he ran for the Senate. He didn't vote to convict Bill Clinton.
Oh, but he married Elizabeth Taylor.
So did Eddie Fisher, but nobody's running for, he's not running for the Senate either. But so former Governor Jim Gilmore, who went nowhere in a presidential bid, apparently will be the conservative alternative to Tom Davis on the Republican side. On the Democratic side, the Democrats feel they have a great candidate and former governor, Mark Warner, no relation to John Warner. Mark Warner challenged John Warner in 1996 for the Senate, but he served as governor recently, very successful governor, left with very high approval ratings. If the Democrats can get Mark Warner to run, I say the Democrats can pick up that Senate seat with Warner.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Ken Rudin, NPR's political junkie. You can read his column at npr.org. Join us here every Wednesday on Talk of the Nation for the Political Junkie segment. You can also join the conversation, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation coming to you from NPR News. And let's get Steve on the line. Steve's calling us from Jacksonville in Florida.
I was just wondering, I remember Barl Rove saying one time not to announce your candidacy too early. And I wonder if you think he's going to be behind Fred Thompson, since everyone's dropping out. This is like a year to give the Republicans to forget all of the people and what happened and start all over again with new rhetoric.
Well, you don't want to enter too early because, you know, you become old news by the time the voters have their say about the nomination process. But this time, you know, it's the nomination will be decided earlier than ever. Iowa is now 4 months away. You have to have your ground troops on the ground, you know, on the ground. Hence the term ground troops. You have to have, you know, good organization in place, money in place. And that's why some people feel that Thompson may have missed an opportunity. Maybe he could have entered early when there were really a lot of complaints about Romney and Giuliani and McCain and things like that. But a lot of Thompson people said, look, you know, we haven't spent a dime yet. We're still doing well in the polls. We still have 4 months to make a difference in Iowa and New Hampshire. And even though he is not going to appear in tonight's debate, there will be several more Republican debates, another one in New Hampshire on October 14th. So there are plenty of opportunities for the Republican rank and file to see him in action.
Hmm. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Speaking about ground troops, the big political debate next week is going to be on the report of General Petraeus and Ambassador Ryan Crocker to Congress. They will testify before both the House and Senate committees that are relevant. And then, of course, there will be the progress report on Iraq issued by the White House. The politics of this are remarkable. It seemed like just a couple of months ago, the Democrats holding Republicans' feet to the fire. And now it seems to have changed a little bit.
Well, I'm not sure if it's changed because Republicans still know that they're going into 2000, if we're talking about politics, they're going into the 2008 elections, having to defend 22 of the 34 Senate seats at stake. And again, it's one thing to say, well, yes, there is some progress being made with the surge in Anbar province, and there is some indication that something's working. But again, you still see the front page headlines of disunity in the Iraqi government and more, you know, mounting death tolls. And if the Republicans don't stand firm with the president, we're talking about vulnerable senators like Norm Coleman of Minnesota, like John Sununu, Susan Collins of Maine, John Sununu of New Hampshire, perhaps Gordon Smith of Oregon. If they don't stand with him, then you could see if you have a steady erosion of Republican support for the president, then either the president is going to have to do something dramatic like call for a sizable reduction, or he'll just say, you know, an in-your-face report saying this is the war, this is, you know, you don't understand it the way I understand it, and it's full speed ahead. But again, that may have cost the Republicans in 2006 their majority in the House and Senate, and it could erode what they have now for 2008.
Yet the public opinion ratings for the Democrats in Congress are even more dismal than those for the president.
Well, in fairness, they talk about Congress being historic lows, and of course, when you're talking about Congress, maybe, I'm not saying it's just Republicans, but maybe you could be talking about David Vitter and Ted Stevens and other Republicans, John Doolittle of California, who may be under some kind of ethical scrutiny. At the same time, yes, it's it's true that you have Bill Jefferson, you have Alan Mollahan, a Democrat of West Virginia, you have other Democrats who, a lot of people in the Democratic rank and file are not happy with the Pelosi's and the Reeds of the world who have not forced an earlier end to the war than they would have liked.
On a sad note today, Representative Paul Gilmore, a Republican of Ohio, found dead in his apartment earlier today. And that will obviously cause some mourning and then some jockeying for his seat. And news from Washington State as well on the death of former Representative Jennifer Dunn.
Yeah, well, both are shocks. I mean, Jennifer Dunn has been out of Congress, although she was a very popular member from the Seattle suburbs, very conservative, one of the first women ever to be in Republican leadership in Congress. She had been the Republican state chairman for many years when the Pat Robertson wing was fighting with the George H.W. Bush wing. It was in a lot of fights, and she kind of refereed a lot of that. She was kind of a pretty, you know, a special person, a very influential person, although for some reason she decided to take on Dick Armey for majority leader, and she got crushed, and so it was, a lot of people were wondering why that happened. Paul Gilmore, when he was in the Ohio State Senate, he was the president of the Ohio State Senate. He was very influential there. In Washington, he's not a well-known guy. He's Northwest Ohio, a quiet figure, you know, able to work across party lines. But again, a sad day for the Republican Party, both, you know, in Congress.
And an upcoming race in Massachusetts.
Well, when you think of the name Tsongas, that you also think of a tragic death. Paul Tsongas died at the age of 55 in 1997 of cancer. His widow, Nikki Tsongas, won a close, surprisingly close, the Democratic nomination yesterday in the 5th Congressional District in Lowell. That's the district that where Marty Meehan has given up to go into academia. And she is running against the brother of the pilot of Flight 11 during 9/11, the plane that was...
And himself a former Air Force officer.
That's right, flown into the World Trade Center. So, again, and the last Democrat to lose in that seat was a fellow by the name of John Kerry in 1972. It's a solidly Democratic district. Democrats should hold on to it.
You can read more from Ken on his column, The Political Junkie. That's at npr.org. And you can join him here every Wednesday on the Political Junkie segment. It's also It's All Politics podcast is available at our website, npr.org. Ken, we'll see you here next week.
Thanks, Neil.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.
I want to grow up to be a politician.